So what's up, dads? I know you might feel like, man, I'm not the homeschooling person. It's my wife. You know, she's the one that does the teaching and things like that. But I found using BJU Press homeschool curriculum, man, it really helped me out with my son, Sam Witt. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We go through these videos. Shout out to Mrs. Walker.
Mrs. Walker.
Shout out to Mrs. Walker. And, you know, it gives me the confidence to know that I can do it as well, that I can sit down with my son and we can go through these lessons and I can help him to see, you know, and understand what's going on. And so, man, it's a good way for us to connect as well. And it's not always our wives that have to do it. So I just want to give you that encouragement that you can do it too.
Check out BJUPressHomeschool.com today. BJUPressHomeschool.com, the premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast. Checking out Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are talking about Richard Dawkins and what he has in common with too many American Christians. it came to my attention. It's kind of a little bit of sort of a trending topic, just a little bit. Richard Dawkins being interviewed this past Resurrection Sunday on a British outlet where he was asked about, you know, the decline of Christianity in the UK. Mm. And what some of his thoughts were on that. And I thought it was really interesting, his response. In it, he claims to be a cultural Christian. And he was kind of lamenting the decline of the Christian ethos, mm-hmm. Which is interesting to me because it's like what Christianity historically brings to a society or to a civilization is of great value. But what Christianity eternally means, not so much. And yeah. So I wanted to have a conversation around this because I saw some YouTubers responding to Richard Dawkins, especially as he was talking about Islam, which I thought was pretty brave of him in this conversation. Of course, we've got some clips that we're going to play and then just kind of have a conversation around it. Cultural Christianity,
that's,
Will.
Yeah, and that's something because when we talk in terms of cultural Christianity, that's a negative in the sense of, like, you know, just because of the things, the trappings, or, you know, it's just culturally the thing to do, you know, but it doesn't surprise me that he's embraced that. But I thought it's just kind of weird in my mind because mm-hmm. I feel like as an atheist, you know, I would think he would have nothing to do with anything that has Christian on it at all, even if it's not the true, authentic, you know, faith. But so that was kind of weird when I heard him embrace that. But I understand it. And it's like, that's not a positive thing. That's a negative thing in terms of, you know, Christianity.
And I would say, man, it is crazy how we've lamented cultural Christianity. We've called it that, cultural Christianity. Right. And we've talked about how deceptive it is and how destructive it is eternally to people who believe themselves to be saved, but really do not know Jesus. And so I think for an atheist to come out and describe himself as a cultural Christian just drives home.
It drives home the point.
You know, my goodness.
It's like, this is not a good thing, yo.
Yeah, it was startling to me as I actually watched the entirety of the interview. I thought, whoa, this is worse than you might think. It's, you know, it goes beyond him talking about Islam and criticizing Islam. This has some implications, I think, even for us in America, you know, because a lot of what he describes is what so many cultural Christians would describe about why they have an affinity for Christianity. It's not for Christ. It's not, you know, it's not the doctrines of the faith. It's more the aesthetics of Christianity. It's kind of like what surrounds the faith.
Yeah, that's something, you know, to think about. It's like, man, all the trappings, all the feelings of certain seasons. I like the caroling. I like this. I like, you know, but as far as like being, you know, true to the faith and the doctrines and the theology, that the real stuff, it's like, no, I don't want that. I just want the fluff, the stuff around it, the feelings around it. Even I would say he might say even the safety associated with Christianity as opposed to other religions, you know? So he's looking at, man, you know, It's a p- peaceful, you know, there's safety. I like the feels, but don't give me Jesus. I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe in virgin birth. I don't believe, you know, you don't believe in attendance. You know?
No, and it's interesting because those things that really define the way Christians have lived, because what he likes is the way Christians have lived. But what he doesn't understand is that Christians have lived that way because of the fact that Jesus is risen.
Exactly.
Because he really was born of a virgin. Like, that's what drives the output of the kind of society and the culture that he loves and would hate to see go away in the UK. You know, it's the same thing, I think, here in America, though. I think we've got a lot of cultural Christians who enjoy the fringes, you know, the things that just kind of like are the decor of Christianity, if you will. It's the outward, I don't know, function of Christianity. You know, it's Christians, honestly, doing what Jesus commanded.
Yeah.
And people like that. They like the celebrations. They like their church.
Yeah.
They like the social aspect of their church. And you see that all across this country.
Yeah. I think, you know, for someone who would be genuinely looking at a Christian and would say, I think they could say of a genuine Christian, man, I like that their family is intact. I like that they have morals, that they are kind and nice, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I don't want that Jesus. I don't believe in what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But man, their lifestyle, you know, for a genuine Christian, if a person who is not one is looking in and they're truthful with themselves, they're like, man, that is better. Like, that's man, something about that. But don't give me Christ.
Yeah, because to receive Christ is to have some demands put upon you.
Yes.
Right? It is, you don't get to just live and enjoy the parts about Christianity that you like.
Right.
Right? Like, Christianity makes some demands of its adherents. Like, we don't, you know, there's a lot of putting away. There's a lot of putting off of the old and putting on the new. And people don't want that. They would love to have a community. They love to have an association or an affiliation, up until the point that they then have to have a master.
It's crazy because those demands are the things that make the Christian life what they are. Like, the things that may seem attractive, like, oh man, they seem like, you know, but it's because we're obeying the word of God. You know, if you look at a Christian's family, you say, man, I just love that their families are intact. Well, we're obeying the scriptures, you know, about loving your spouse and about raising your children. And so, but they wouldn't point to, you know, the commands of God or living a holy life. They just want love what they see.
The reality is, I think you have to have a discussion around why a Christian does those things. Like, you know, yes, it could be just a cultural inheritance, something that is passed down to you. But for the sincere Christian, the Christian who is willing to lose his or her life even while exercising these tenets and in obedience to Jesus, that is only done because you believe that he is the Son of God.
Yes.
That is only done because you believe that he was truly born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and because of that was sufficient to die in our place, but he didn't stay dead. My sister had a shirt on this weekend. He got up. That's what her shirt said on Resurrection Sunday. Just t-shirt. He got up, plain and simple, period. And I love that. Like, he didn't just stay dead, right? Yeah. He got up. And so anyway, I want to have a conversation around this interview. The interviewer is Rachel Johnson, and the program is LBC. And she was talking with Richard Dawkins, and so many people would be familiar with him. I mean, he's one of the more famous atheists, you know, who sees it as his personal mission to, you know, criticize those who believe in a young earth based on the authority of scripture. Now, remember, he's a cultural Christian. Okay. So, but anyway, he sees it as his personal mission. He's the author of the book, The God Delusion. Anyway, I want to just kind of pick up on this conversation. She starts asking him what his thoughts are, and she's interviewing him on Resurrection Sunday, commonly known as Easter Sunday, and just kind of getting some of his thoughts on where the UK is. So let's play the clip and then just have a conversation around that.
Thank you.
And what would be your Easter message? I've said a few things. What would you tell the nation?
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative.
Mm. So, now, yes. Okay, go ahead. Yes, go right
if
ahead.
If the number of Christians are going down,
the number of believing Christians.
The number of believing Christians are going down, then you will lose what you like.
That's right. And that is like, what he's lamenting.
Yeah.
And then
but we say he's happy about that the number of believing Christians are going down, but he's not happy about other things coming in to take the place of the,
if that continues. So what Richard Dawkins is doing is he is making a clear distinction between me and you, right? And somebody who just likes Christianity, right? So what Richard Dawkins is saying is that he's elated that the believing Christians in the UK, those numbers are dwindling, right? Those are the sold out ones. You know what I mean? Those are the on fire Christians, the followers of the way.
So the stuff you like will dwindle as well.
Yes. And then when he gets to the end of his comments, you know, he says basically it would be dreadful if that were to be like the Christian ethos would be replaced with something else. And what he is alluding to is Islam. So basically he begins his comments in talking about how he was concerned that Ramadan was being sort of, you know, better celebrated than Easter. And he sees this as a reflection that the cultural Christianity that he's enjoyed is diminishing in the UK. And that's concerning
to
him.
But the thing is, shouldn't he be horrified that the believing, you know, Christians, the one who really believe, that's dwindling, because he's going to lose what he likes because the believing Christians are dwindling.
Yeah, if he sees it that way. No, I absolutely see what you're saying, but I think you are processing as a believer. You are processing.
Well, even if I was, if I were not a believer and I love the things around, I was a cultural Christian. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, if the true believing Christians are dwindling, the things that I like as a cultural Christian would dwindle as well.
Unless you believe that you can have those things without belief. See, he can have those things without belief.
But he can't, because you see what's happening.
No, like, you're one. Look, I'm telling you.
Ramadan is being, you know.
I'm telling you, you are thinking as a Christian. Like, the way you're processing, I totally get what you're saying. And the way you are processing that is as a genuine follower of Christ, that the outflow of the things that cultural Christians enjoy, you are saying those things will go away when the believing, the genuine Christians diminish. He cannot see that and would not see that because he believes that people can be like him. They can be cultural Christians, not really, because keep in mind, he thinks that people like you and I are idiots.
But that's crazy, though, because where does he think the cultural things that he enjoyed came from? Like those
Good
started
question.
With
yeah.
real genuine believers that, you know, were living it out. And so as a byproduct, the culture was able to enjoy some of the things that the Christians, you know, living out their faith.
That's
so
a great
if
point.
You are happy that the believing Christians are dwindling, man, the stuff you like is about to go as well.
Yeah. And I think that's what they are experiencing in the UK. But the reason I found this clip or this interview fascinating is because I couldn't help think about America.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help think about we lament all the time and talking about the loss of our nation. I mean, we really do pride ourselves on, you know, our Judeo-Christian roots and our Judeo-Christian founding. And we really do pride ourselves on being a moral nation. But I think, you know, the remnants of that really are smaller than we might imagine. Mm-hmm. And the things that that Richard Dawkins would be lamenting, these are the same things that you see cultural Christians in America lamenting. Like, they will say, you do not want to live in a communist nation. You better try to save this country. And they believe that the salvation of the country is going to be exalting Christianity. But again, it's not going to be the Christianity that that is eternally beneficial.
Right.
Meaning the saving of your soul. It is going to be the type of Christianity that keeps us all in a neat little row. You know what I mean? Like, we all go to church around here. We all sing hymns.
Right.
We all like Christmas and we love Easter. We got Easter egg hunts in abundance. And so I think we really could learn by watching what's happened already, actually, what's happened already in the UK, but what is increasingly happening to the point where now you've got an avowed atheist saying, please, please preserve Christianity. Like, I mean, that is just, that's astounding to me.
I love my Christmas carols. I love my,
I love the cathedrals. That is so bizarre to me. Yes. Like,
you can't have, I know he's a brilliant, smart guy, but look.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say brilliant because the Bible says that the
I mean, in the world's eyes. Yeah. Let me say that.
Sure.
But I will say, like, it doesn't make sense what he's wanting.
Yeah.
Because he would be lamenting the fact that the true Christians are like dwindling.
Yeah.
Because that affects his love and the things that he delight in. Mm-hmm. You know, but he can't see that because it's, you know.
Because he is blind. Because he is not wise. But look, I've got two more clips here that I want to throw out at you and get your response to. Because to the point that you're making and even what we're discussing, Richard Dawkins is not going to let anyone walk away thinking that he's a believer or that he's even
he's a cultural Christian.
Yes. And he wants to make sure that people understand that. And also, and again, this is where I guess sort of the bravery comes in. Not only does he want to make sure that you know that he knows the difference between a believing Christian and a cultural Christian, but he also wants to lament what could be in the UK, the rise of Islam and what that might mean for cultural Christians like himself. Mm. So this is clip two. Here we go.
My supplementary point, which is that, as we know, church attendance is plummeting. But the building, the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction and there are many more, I mean, are being planned. So do you think, do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I mean, I have to choose my words carefully. I mean, if I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion in a way that I think Islam is not.
I think you're going to have to explain why you say that, right. Professor Dawkins. Why is Islam fundamentally not decent like Christianity?
Yes, I mean, the way women are treated. I mean, Christianity is not great about that. It's had its problems with female vicars and female bishops and things. But there's an active hostility to women, which is promoted, I think, by the holy books of Islam. I'm not talking about individual Muslims, who, of course, are quite different. But the doctrines of Islam, the Hadith and the Quran, is fundamentally hostile to women, hostile to gays. I find that I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I do not believe a single word of the Christian faith.
First of all, there is a lot to say to what he just said, right? And there's a lot to mine out of that. But the point I want to begin with is sort of where the end of his comments there. Mm-hmm. You know, he would choose Christianity over Islam, hands down. And he would like to live in a culturally Christian nation, although he does not believe a word of the faith, but he would love to live in the output of that. Oh. Now, what's interesting is, so she kind of pushes back, Rachel Johnson, the one who's interviewing him, she kind of pushes back that, like, well, wait a minute, I think we've got to consider that there's some things about Christianity that are not great, you know. But actually, when you consider the history of women and when you consider what Christianity did for women, exalting women to a place of dignity and respect while honoring God's God-given roles for women, right. Christianity did something that no other faith had done. I mean, I'm thinking, I was just reading earlier this morning about Martha and Mary, right? When you've got Mary, who is choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus. When we read that, we think, okay, here's, you know, Martha is busy at home and Mary is just like kind of down at the heels of Jesus learning. But actually, this is almost sort of like a rabbi student role that Mary is in. So Mary sitting at the feet of her teacher, right, implies to us that she is one of Jesus's disciples, that she is being taught by him. This is an incredibly elevated role in the Christian faith, right? That you've got women who are now being taught the things of God by a rabbi. That's just one example. I think when he's trying to, you know, balance things out, he just doesn't want to be mistaken for a believing Christian, you know? So he's like, no, but they've got these things and they do these things wrong.
But again, when you bring it to where we are, you know, I'm hearing them speak and I'm like, man, how many people in America, Christians, you know, feel that same way? Like, you know, it may not say that, of course, you know, but the lifestyle and what's lived out, that's what it is. It's like, man, I love the things around, you know, Christianity, but man, to surrender my life and make, and that he's Lord.
I think it's easier, and tell me what you think about this, but I think it's easier in this country to rally people who are moved to save the nation than it is to see people have a heart to return back to holiness and a right fear of God that would be reflected in a type of palpable humility, a humility that you could feel where, you know, we no longer exalted ourselves, but we exalted the Lord. We didn't, you know, lean on our own understanding. We returned to acknowledging him in all of our ways. I think it's more difficult to get people to do that than it is to pack out an event where we say, how are we going to save the nation? And I think that is exactly what Richard Dawkins is saying.
And when you say, and when it's said, save the nation, I think what comes to mind is some political thing or some, you know, it's not coming together and praying and stuff like that. So that's a problem. Like when the call goes out, man, what are we going to do to help save the nation? Usually the thought is we're going to get the right person in office.
Who's going to stop the advance of
the Marxists, you know, and things like that, you know, which they should be stopped.
Yes. Amen. I'm not,
they should be stopped. But at the same time, you know, our mindset, is it more of save the nation as in the nation is almost like an idol? Or, you know, are we concerned about the people in the nation going to hell?
Come on. Come on. That's important.
Yes.
Like that's, that point is worth making. Like that, it's important that we say, hang on here a second, right? If our nation is to be spared, right? If our nation is to have a turnaround, it will be because we have a turnaround as the people who inhabit this nation.
Yeah.
But I think too many people can take that as an afterthought. Well, I mean, that's nice if you get saved, but look, I don't want to live in a Marxist country. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want these theories and I don't want these ideologies overrunning my nation. So I'm going to do everything I can to get the right person in office, to get the right person in position, to pull down all of these, you know, these ideologies. They're infiltrating our schools. But again, it is not fueled by a love for the souls of men. It is fueled by a desire for a sustained comfort that we have always known. And I don't know how you make that matter to people without people thinking that you're saying we should not be active in politics.
Right.
You better be active in politics.
Right.
You who are discerning and know what hour it is, you better be active in politics. But at the same time, you better recognize that the souls of men need to be saved in this country. We're not good. We are not good.
Amen. Amen. And I think we have meshed the two for so long, you know, like I said before in another podcast, God and country, that, you know, they're synonymous in a lot of ways, you know, where it's supposed to be God.
Come on.
Country.
Come on.
You know, and I think, man, we have to get that right because that's the wrong priority. And it shows. And it shows. And I think some of it is not only a want of comfort, but also is there's a fear of not being secure. Like we let all these, there's a fear that's involved in that as well. Yeah. You know, we don't want, you know, this and that. Or there's a thing of, you know, man, I wish it was like Mayberry.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not going to be the case.
Right.
Where we are today, we have to live for God in a real way.
Amen.
You know, and we have to have the mindset that, man, it's about His kingdom come.
Yeah.
Like, what can we do as believers to highlight Christ?
Man, that's
so
good.
Not, you know, where we live.
Yeah. We believe there's hope for our young people. And that's why we are spending a week at the North Carolina Refuge at the Culture Proof Camp, July 21st through the 26th.
That's right. A week, right? Because I know there was talks about, like, man, we need this.
I have not heard that from Sammy.
Am I dreaming about that?
No one said.
We never talked about
it. That was not confirmed.
Okay. So it was
that
a week.
That was not confirmed. It'll be 1 week.
Yes.
I feel like Sammy's listening and he's going, oh, y'all wanted 2 weeks? No.
We're good, Brother Sammy.
Sammy, you and Desta, God bless the team there at the North Carolina Refuge, because they have grown like a resistance to the heat. And I don't know that it affects them the way that it affects the newbies.
You know, the newbies. You know, but you have a great time. Like, it's always been a great time, man. The atmosphere is awesome.
It's amazing.
The times of worship.
Yeah.
It's just a great time of equipping. And so this is the Culture Proof Camp. And so it's going to be, man, just be ready.
Yeah,
just be ready.
Culture Proof Camp 2024 is going to be all about biblical worldview.
It's
going to be walking through all of the indications or all of the indicators that you have a biblical worldview, challenging these young people. And again, when I say young people, this is 8th to 12th grade on what they say they believe. And so if you're interested, you can learn more by going to cultureproof.net, click on engage, and you'll see all of the events that we're participating in this year. And just scroll down. Culture Proof Camp 2024 is near the bottom of the list because it's happening in July.
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel good in July.
I think July is like the Greek goddess of heat. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That's not, I don't know Greek mythology. Cultureproof.net. Learn about where we're headed. We
Shout
would love
out to the Mayflies.
Huh? Can you imagine? I just got a picture of the Mayflies turning around because, like, you called their names. Like, oh, okay, what's up? Like, okay, yeah. Anyway, cultureproof.net. You know, I often lament, and I wish that, man, I really wish that this that we could test this out, you know, but I really wonder about what God might do in our nation if we were radical in our care and concern for the souls of men. If we let that drive even our political engagement, like if people could understand what it is to vote according to your conviction because you believe that you are doing that for the eternal well-being of your fellow brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rather than self-preservation.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a nation in decline. I don't want to live under an oppressive regime. But what if we didn't lead with that? Like, what if we led with, man, people are really dying every day and they are going to hell and they are eternally separated from the God who made them. I wonder what God might do with that faithfulness for our country.
It's a change of mindset, because if we really felt that I don't want to live in a place, you know, like this, that's going down, that's, you know, this is taking over and things like that, our gospel efforts would be much greater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I don't think we see that as the answer. You know, discipleship and things like that is not the answer. That's where the problem comes in, because we have the wrong answer in our mind for the problem at hand.
Yep.
You know, so we'll spin our wheels trying to do this and that and this and disregard maybe our home, maybe the children in our home,
or,
you know, the discipleship that has to happen in our churches and things like that as the way to, you know, get the result that we say that we want.
Yes.
It's just it's a shift that has to take place in our minds.
Yeah, man, we have become a nation of cultural Christians because the believing Christians stopped believing at home first.
Mm.
And that spread out into the country.
So, like, we have a nation of Richard Dawkins.
We do.
Oh my.
We do. Look, when I say watching this interview was very chilling for me, like I kept thinking, oh my goodness, it's the cultural Christian exposed. This is what it looks like to like all of the so-called trappings of Christianity, but to have no need for Christ. Mm. And there are so many people. Now, the difference is, maybe this is not a difference, because Richard Dawkins said he likes the cathedrals. Now, I don't know if for him that means, you know, going inside the cathedrals or if that's just looking at them from the outside.
So pretty and nice.
Either way it is, we've got our cultural buildings. Christians in America who feel the same way. Uh-huh. I like my church. Mm. I will give to the expansion of these buildings because I like the way they look. Mm. We've got a beautiful facility, and we love it. You know, we love it. And man, some of us, oh my goodness. Mm. And I want to be charitable here, but we have no time to make mention of the fact that it can be filled with people who do not know Jesus.
Mm, come on.
And they are Richard Dawkins walking around inside your churches. Like they're just cultural Christians, but they are not believing Christians. They don't have a saving faith in Jesus. And wow. I think that's tragic. We got one more clip here. This one was really interesting to me because Richard Dawkins gets really personal with Rachel Johnson here. And, you know, I guess he just can't pass up an opportunity to rob her of any inkling of hope in the risen Lord on Easter Sunday. Like, you know, he couldn't just, you know, be interviewed. He had to kind of like interrogate her a little bit. And so as you get to the end of the interview, you know, again, he wants to make it clear that he is not a believing Christian. So please don't think that I'm softening. Okay. But not just that. He's like, and you can't be one either. Okay. Man. So let's watch this and then, you know, have a conversation around it.
I think I see where you come from. I like the phrase, you're a cultural Christian. I think I'm a bit more than a cultural Christian, although, you know, it does, my belief waxes and wanes. Would it be a good thing or a bad thing if we became a less Christian country? And just on the, you know, the foundation of this nation with the king being the head of church and state, do you think it provides a solid foundation that we would lose something if, let's say, there was a Muslim majority?
Well, yes. I think the king, when he was Prince of Wales, was actually rather sympathetic towards Islam, and one of the problems I felt. No, I think it would be a terrible thing. And insofar as Christianity can be seen as a bulwark against Islam, I think it's a very good thing. I mean, in Africa, for example, where you have missionaries of both faiths operating, I'm on team Christian side as far as that's concerned.
It's interesting because I sort of thought that you would be more of a Hitchenite, God is not great advocate. But it's interesting to me that you see the value and the force for good of the United Kingdom having a Christian foundation.
Yes, but I must emphasize that I think that the things that Christians believe are actually nonsense. I mean, I think that when you say you waver, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, do you actually believe that Jesus had a virgin for a mother? Do you actually believe he rose from the dead? I suspect
well, weirdly,
you probably don't.
Well, since you ask, Richard, if I may, because I was at New College when you were, I think, are you still a don at New College? Yes.
Well, I'm retired.
You're retired. Yes. Anyway, weirdly, I was just 3 weeks ago at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, where the Christians believe that Christ was crucified.
So let me just pause for a second there.
Yourself.
I know. So I want to just jump in. We'll go back to Rachel as she fumbles all Man. Over what she believes. When she first said, since you asked, I thought, oh, okay, well, let's go ahead because you talked about, you know, being more than a cultural Christian. So
right.
My hope went up a little bit. I thought, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, but no. And here's the thing. What is happening in this moment is the fear of man, right? So she is afraid of this quote unquote great thinker, this brilliant evolutionary biologist who has, you know, purportedly proven that there is no God, who is credited with, you know, I don't know, being famous for rejecting God and trying to influence the rejection of God in other people. And so here she is, and she's like, you know,
like, whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
But again, this is when you don't know him.
Wow.
When you don't know him, all of your quote unquote reasoning fails you. Right? Because the pressure is on her right now. And what is that pressure? Be intelligent. Be smart. Be learned. Right? Like here you are in this interview with the Richard Dawkins. And he leans into that identity, right? Because he's like, but you don't believe that, right? Like he's like, you know, come on, you know, really? Like we're smarter than that, aren't we, Rachel? That's what he's saying, you know? And her, you know, or she is on the other side of that question. And she cannot answer with certainty because she doesn't know Jesus. And again, she's more than a cultural Christian, but she obviously is not a believing Christian. And we'll continue with the clip because she actually says that, you know, well, you can hear it in her own words. Here we go.
Gethsemane was just there and Golgotha was there. And I have to admit that there is a real force. I mean, it feels like the fulcrum of three world religions. It really does. And Christianity is palpable there. It almost, the place pulses with Christianity. I don't know whether it made me believe the Bible anymore, but I certainly felt that Jesus was a historical figure. Yes, I did believe that. Well, Am I wrong to think that?
No, I mean, that's quite different. But do you believe that his mother was a virgin?
Well, I mean... Maybe that was a mistranslation.
You see, because that's foolishness, right? Like,
oh, come on.
So she's stumbling, but he does not even give her an opportunity to recover and to collect her thoughts and to build a little bit of boldness. Mm. Like there's a moment where if you can hang on just a little bit, there's a pause maybe that he could have allowed her, but he will not because he wants to tear that down.
She might have been afraid in that moment. Like you said, fear. She might have thought, like real quickly, if I say, yes, I believe that, she didn't want to go back and forth with Richard Dawkins. Like,
then he's going to debate me.
Man, I know how he debates.
Man, that's a great point.
She might have calculated like, you know, I don't know if I want to. Man, but that's when the believer says, oh, yes, I believe
I know
it.
Him.
And we rely on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's like he can't outsmart the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
There's no argument that he can make. But if you're not a true believer, then all you have is your mindset and your intellect and to pull from. And you don't want to get involved with someone who is as heady as he is.
Man, that is such a great point that you're making. And I just want to, you know, we often, when we are on location teaching parents and grandparents, we say, man, apologetics is not salvific. To teach your kid how to defend a faith that he or she does not possess is foolishness. It's a waste of time. It makes a heady kid who does not know Christ. And so in these moments, it's like the apologetics argument can only get you so far. And to the extent that you're willing to defend it, right? Because you use your apologetics to defend that which you know is true. Hey, the Addisons are preparing for our heavy travel season.
We
are going to be at the Texas Homeschool Convention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, April 18th through the 20th. I don't know if you are registered for the Texas Homeschool Conventions. There's two, right? There's one in Houston, Texas, and one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Right.
And if you have not attended and you are in that area, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged. I like to say to parents, attend a homeschool conference because you don't know what you don't know, but you will walk away blessed. We're looking forward to it. If you want to visit with us, we'll have a booth set up and we'll be podcasting on location.
Yes.
So check us out.
Come
we'll
shake
be at
our
the
hands.
Texas Homeschool Conventions. You can learn more when you go to our website, go to cultureproof.net. Now, if you are trying to make your kid, you know, an apologetics kind of genius, and you don't know that they have even received the ardent faith, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Then how do you expect them to even say it? How do you expect them to get to a place where they're willing to defend it? This defense of the gospel is a defense because we believe it, because we know that it's true. And so in this moment, to the point that you're making, man, the Holy Spirit, we can trust the Holy Spirit to give us every response that we need in that moment.
Amen.
But the bottom line is this. Yes, I believe that. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't even muster that and hold the line on that because Richard Dawkins was having none of it.
Right, right. And I think it showed, and she really, in that moment, you could see, man, it was like a tussling going on inside of her. How am I supposed to answer this question with this, you know, atheist scholar here?
Yeah.
You know, I think she was really shaking in that moment, but like you're saying, a true believer unflinchingly would just, yes, I believe.
Amen. Amen. This is excruciating to watch. Man. If you're on YouTube, if you're listening, you can even hear it, but let's finish up this clip.
Well, that's biologically impossible, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yes.
Well, I mean, I used to make a joke that most second children are virgin births because you can. Anyway, we don't want to go into that.
Yes.
But yes, you know what I'm saying. Were you pleased that Rishi Sunak talked about Christian values in his? He said Christian values are British values in his Easter message. You seem to be on the same page.
Yes, I didn't hear that, but
that's what he said.
Yes, I suppose so. But I don't want to be misunderstood. I mean, I do think it's nonsense, but. The Christian belief, today's Easter, and of course I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I don't believe you do either. Do you?
Do I believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, you're really putting me on the spot. I would like to believe he did. Yes, I mentioned the resurrection.
Different.
I mentioned the resurrection. By the way, just quickly, because I've been told we've got to stop. When my son was two, we took him to church, and the priest said, you can ask me anything. And he said, my two-year-old son asked the priest, do you know Jesus to be true or do you believe Jesus to be true? And do you see what I mean? And he couldn't answer that question himself. Mm. Anyway,
yes.
Or God. Anyway.
Wow.
Man, that was excruciating to watch because the question was very simple. I mean, here you are. It's an Easter interview. She's just talking about being at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and talking about how, you know, there's something that you can feel. And you know, she wants to believe, but she can't. And Richard Dawkins doesn't want her to get to the place where she believes, right? And so here we are. You don't really believe that he rose from the dead. This is where if you know the Lord and are known by the Lord, you can say without batting an eye, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I believe he rose from the dead because I know him. I'm actually in communion with him. I know him. Mm-hmm. I encounter him daily. But far too many cultural Christians in this country don't have those experiences. So they don't know how to answer these questions.
It's amazing because, you know, he turned that question on her. Man. On Resurrection Day, you know, he's like, do you believe this? You know?
Yeah.
And she's, you know, and she is having a hard time. But I'm thinking about, as a believer, the scriptures, you know, where Paul goes through the people that saw him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's on record.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15.
It's on record.
That's right.
You know, that he has risen and people saw him. Paul was like, y'all can go check it out for yourself.
Yes.
Some of them are still alive.
Come on,
you know?
Come on.
And just, it's amazing, you know, to see this, and it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad, you know, but I'm like, man, he turned that on her and he started questioning her. Mm-hmm. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Come on, you can't believe this. It's like, man, you know, the crisis that I saw right there in her was just sad.
Sad. It was a crisis of faith. It was a crisis of faith. It was a crisis of belief. When, you know, if just even reading God's word, you know, she would have been able to say, well, why do you believe that he didn't? Mm-hmm. You know, why do you believe that he didn't? Why do you believe? Yes, exactly right.
Why do you believe
he didn't? What do you think? You know, you could say, well, Mr. Dawkins, what do you think caused his siblings to believe when they mocked him before his death and burial?
Why did all these disciples die?
Yes, yes.
For this belief.
Come
like,
on.
If this was all just made up, like, there were many questions she could have asked.
Yeah.
But if you're not a believing Christian.
Yeah.
Then you won't ask.
Yeah,
those
and you
questions.
Won't even search for them. Like you won't even expect the Holy Spirit to remind you of them. And it's really tragic, you know. I'm thinking of Jesus when he resurrected before he ascended, and how there were some of the disciples who saw him, and then they carried word back to the rest of the disciples, and Thomas, You know, Thomas was like, oh, I have to see him.
Right.
I have to see him. You know, I won't believe it unless I see him. And Jesus, okay, says, you know, come and touch my side. Mm-hmm. Come and touch my scars and see that I'm real. And Thomas is like, you know, Lord and Master, right? And Jesus is like, you believe because you've seen. Mm. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe, right? And that's us. Mm-hmm. That's us who have come to the Lord, who have had our eyes open and could not deny him if we wanted to. If you've never had the kind of experience with Jesus where you couldn't deny him because you know he's real. You know he's like, if somebody said to me to deny that you exist, I couldn't do that. Like I just couldn't do it because it is a fact, right? So to say that Jesus is risen is a fact. It's not just a tenet of what I believe and celebrate once a year. That is a fact that I live and have experienced and do experience ongoingly. Until you get to that point, then there's a Richard Dawkins for you everywhere. Right? There's a challenge to what you believe everywhere. I think it's tragic. I don't know what her background is. I think it's sad that her young son didn't get an answer to his question. That's a very simple question.
Yeah.
Do you know that Jesus is true, or do you believe that Jesus is true? I mean,
yeah.
You know, right?
That's very sad. It's amazing that he was 2 years old and said that.
Yeah, I struggled with that.
But still, like, the priest could not answer that question.
Yeah.
Like, that just tells you what you need to know. It's sad all around.
I don't know if if her recollection was was really sharp on that one.
Like, wow.
Now, look, I don't know how the British get down.
I know, maybe they.
Maybe, you know what I'm saying? It's that accent, you know? But I got a three-year-old that if we could get him to stop saying poopy butt, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where he got it, but I can't get rid of it, you know? And so to ask, you know, an apologetics question, you know what I mean? Like,
hey, you know, it might be.
I guess everybody's got their thing,
you know,
right?
Prodigy,
you know, you know? maybe so, you know.
Two, wow.
Anyway, here's the word.
Thinking deeply, man.
Yes. Right,
wow.
Here's the word. I'm going to start at verse 26. After 8 days, this is John chapter 20, verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Therefore, John ends this way, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name."
Amen.
There is a component of it that you have to say, our faith is built on facts, but our faith is faith. Right? There is a belief, okay, that we must have. And until a person actually has that, I don't care where you live, whether it's the UK or the United States, that is cultural Christianity, and it's not sufficient to save you. You are still dead in your sins. Yeah. So unless you want to share eternity, unless he repents, with Richard Dawkins, right, you will do some true searching and ask the Lord whether or not he knows you. When you resist the cultural trends that rival the truth, you remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.